This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's not exactly some enchanted evening, falling in love with a stranger across a crowded room. Finding a date has become a little like a job interview or consumer profiling. We were surprised to learn that the creators of two of the more popular ways to find dates had approached their concepts from a religious angle. A little later, we'll hear from Rabbi Yaakov Deyo and his wife Sue, who co-founded Speed Dating. My first guest created one of the most successful internet match sites, eHarmony. Dr. Neil Clark Warren is an evangelical Christian who received his Master's of Divinity degree from Princeton Theological Seminary. He's a psychologist who's counseled many couples and has written several books. His website bio describes him as, quote, one of America's best-known experts on mate selection and healthy relationships. eHarmony is so popular it's been satirized on Saturday Night Live.
I tried online dating, but I never found anyone who liked me for me.
My friends tell me I'm too picky.
I need to find someone who realizes how great I am.
I'm a catch. Women like me. But when I tried other dating services, they could never find anyone good enough for me.
Hi, I'm Dr. Terry McWarren, founder of MeHarmony.com. When you sign up at MeHarmony, we only ask you questions about your favorite subject, you.
I can't believe how lucky I am. Sandra and I finish each other's thoughts.
And we finish each other's sentences. It's amazing.
He treats me exactly the way I want and deserve to be treated.
I don't know where I end and he starts.
I have never been so attracted to someone on every level.
I didn't think it was possible to find someone who loves me as much as I love me. But I found her. You should see people stare at us when we walk down the street.
They're jealous.
Don't you deserve the perfect match? At MeHarmony, we guarantee you someone who is exactly like you, but with different sexual organs.
Thank you, MeHarmony.
And for alternative lifestyles, visit HeHarmony.com.
Thank you, HeHarmony.
That's a spoof of eHarmony on Saturday Night Live. Here's the story behind the real thing from founder Dr. Neil Clark Warren. How did you first get the idea to start an internet dating system?
Well, I got to tell you, Terry, that we stumbled onto most of these ideas, but it all started for me with the recognition that Marilyn and I, who we got married 46 years ago, that we were just so flat out lucky to have found a good marriage partner, each of us. Four of our six closest friends from college have each been married three times. And we said, we can't allow our kids, our three daughters, to rely on the luck that we experienced. It would be like sending them out to skate on this very thin ice. So I started studying that a number of years ago, and started studying all the research. How do you gain confidence that the person you choose for a lifetime mate is somebody you can live with for a lifetime and be happy with? And that's how we got started in the subject. And then we got $1 million grant from an old student of mine who's down in Texas. And he said, see if you can use this $1 million to spend the time necessary to develop materials for single people in the United States so that they can do a better job of selection. And we started out, we sent out videotapes all over the country, and we sent out audio tapes, and we wrote books and all the rest. And finally, we came to the conclusion that what single people want is not more information. They like a little information, but they don't want more information. They want somebody. And so we thought, how can we do that? We didn't know anything about the internet. And so we got started, though, with the internet, never expecting it to get more than maybe 100,000 people. And it just kept growing like a wildfire. And we have 8,300,000 people on our site.
So when you got this $1 million grant, and by the way, how can I meet this student of yours? when you got this $1 million grant, was it for specifically a Christian singles dating system?
No. You see, I'll tell you some kind of an interesting thing about me. I studied for the ministry at Princeton Seminary for 3 years, and I am a passionate Christian. I pray. I read the Bible. I hold pretty orthodox Christian values. But then I went and took a doctorate at the University of Chicago, and I've always felt such a need to try to speak to both sides. I want to try to reach all people with this website. We have hundreds of thousands of Buddhists and Hindus and atheists and agnostics and Jews and Christians and Wiccans. We have all lots of different religions represented. That's been really important to me. And I think
you're okay with Wiccans.
You know, I'm okay with anybody who basically says I deeply want to build a stronger link to the person I'm involved with. I want to have it survive over time, and I want to marry somebody else who's a lot like I am. So when a Wiccan comes in, we will match them with a Wiccan. I don't know. I don't dig in and try to find out what Wiccans are all about. But I do think that we've got some fundamental principles that help people get matched in a way that will be less problematic for them over time.
Before we get to the process, because I really want to get to the process that you use to match people, I do want to mention that from what I've read, there's one group who you decline to match, and that's gays and lesbians.
Let me tell you why we don't. I look back at my 38-year career, and I've seen thousands of people in therapy. I've never had a same-sex couple in therapy. I don't know exactly what the dynamics are there. We've done a deep amount of research on about 5,000 married people, but never on people who are same-sex. So we don't know how to do that. We think the principles probably are different, and so we've never chosen to do it. And that's the position we take.
I bet you haven't done a lot of counseling of Wiccan couples either.
No, that's true. That's true. But and you know, and if it weren't for the fact that we look for so much similarity in terms of the religious aspects, we probably wouldn't match those people because we haven't had many of those people, like you say. I don't think I've had any.
Can we just, you know, just...
Sure.
Let me just ask you, are you sure it's not because you're uncomfortable with homosexuality that you're not doing it as opposed to the fact that you haven't counseled a lot of gay couples? Because, you know, a lot of people say love is love and an attraction is an attraction, and it might not be that different to match the tastes of a gay couple and a straight couple.
You know, it might not. I don't know that. I have a deep desire for gays and lesbians to be matched well if they're going to be together. The fact is that same-sex marriage in this country is largely illegal at this time. And we do try to match people for marriage. So that's one issue for us. The other issue, I don't try to sneak away from it. It's the biggest political most contentious kind of question in America right now. And, you know, I have come up through the Christian side. I have a great amount of experience in all of that. And given the fact that we don't know much about it, and given the fact that it is so, it's so inflammatory on both sides, we've tried to steer clear of it. But at the same time, I've done this. I had some people come to me who were actually gays, and they wanted to know how I would advise that they try to build a site to do a good job. And I spent a lot of time with them talking about the need for research and the need to look at what really does work for gays and lesbians in terms of the couples, and how you develop research instruments that will help them to do that job well. And I've tried to be helpful in those ways, but we've taken the position that right now we don't choose to do that.
Well, let's move on. I'm interested in hearing a kind of overview of the process you use at eHarmony. I know you have a very elaborate questionnaire, over 400 questions. We'll get to some of the specific questions in a minute, but just give us a sense of the process.
So what we did, Terry, was we took 5,000 married people, and we ended up with 2,000 married couples because about 1,000 of the people didn't get their spouse to fill out all of our questionnaires. And we ended up with four groups of 500 married people each married couples each. And the top group was, they were just wonderfully happy with one another. The next group was pretty happy, but they had some issues. And then we had a group that wasn't so happy, but it wasn't horrible. And then the bottom group was what we called the very disappointed people. And we began to look at what variables differentiate really happily married people from really disappointed people. And we ended up with these 29 what we call dimensions. And these 29 dimensions vary all the way from intellect to curiosity to emotional health and so forth. So when we planned our questionnaire for the eHarmony site, we ended up with 436 questions, all of which relate to one or more of the 29 dimensions.
I didn't fill out the questionnaire, but I looked at some of the questions, and I realized I have trouble with questionnaires, and there were so many questions on it. I have no idea how to rate myself. Like, am I warm? Am I clever? Dominant? Sensual? Charming? Patient? Introverted? Aloof? Gregarious? Uh-huh. And, you know, what you think of yourself isn't necessarily what somebody else thinks of you.
Uh-huh.
And that made me just wonder a lot, like, if I had to, on a scale of 1 to 7, right, how clever or warm or sensual I was, I would have no idea what to say. And a lot of people who think they're really clever aren't so much. So yeah. How do you deal with the amount of subjectivity that it takes to actually answer some of this stuff?
Well, you know, that's a very good point, actually. I believe that most people have a better idea of what their attributes and their defects are than anybody else does. That doesn't mean that their own idea is always perfect or whatever. We do look at whether people tend to take advantage of a questionnaire like that. We look to see whether or not there's lying. We have a 19-item lie scale built into the questionnaire. And basically what this is about is whether or not they seem to be looking at things way too rosily, if that's a word. And we've asked over 1 million people who got started on our service not to continue because they have this problem or that. We have like 4 or 5 things that we look for. And we're really trying to determine that people have a pretty good sense of themselves. They answer the same questions the same way over an hour's long questionnaire taking session. And we also look to see whether or not they regularly answer questions quite differently from everybody else who's like them.
Your eHarmony dating website really took off after you were a guest a few years ago on Focus on the Family, a Christian radio show which is hosted by James Dobson, who's considered one of the most powerful people in the religious right. And so that really spread the word around. The site really took off. And from what I've read, it sounded like early on you were marketing primarily to Christians, and the marketing included the phrase, based on the Christian principles of Focus on the Family author Dr. Neil Clark Warren. A few of your books were published by Focus on the Family, but then you kind of separated from Focus on the Family. You bought the rights to your books back. What changed?
I'm sort of heartbroken about some of that change because it didn't come out of anything other than just misunderstanding. I have a long history, you know, in the evangelical community, and I was the dean of a graduate school at Fuller Theological Seminary, a graduate school in psychology, and I was on Focus on the Family 17 times in 1997. I mean, James Dobson is a person I greatly admire and appreciate, and no question that he did more to help us get started than any other single person. He has a radio program that reaches, I don't know, several million people. And he let us bring 10 of our couples on who had gotten matched and had become married on eHarmony. And when we did that, we got 100,000 new people registering for our site. We got into a little bit of a problem when Focus on the Family became so politically known, and it was such a specific set of principles, many of which I'm very supportive of, but to have focus on the family across the top of my book, a lot of people just thought that that meant that we were only trying to reach that audience, or that we would come with a kind of what I would call an evangelistic approach to anybody who wasn't in that audience, and that wasn't true.
As a Christian, how do you feel knowing that people who you match through your website are a lot of them are likely to have premarital sex? Does that bother you that you're kind of enabling people to do that?
No. The reason I have a concern about premarital sex is because when people get so physiologically attached to one another, they have a way of not seeing a lot of the factors in their marriages. I should tell you that, in my opinion, I've done 512 divorce autopsies, and that's an effort to understand why did this marriage die? And in about 75% of those cases, the wrong person married the wrong person. And sometimes, and actually fairly often, people got so turned on to each other on the front end that they just overlooked all the differences and the difficulties and the problems in the marriage, and so they went ahead and got married.
In your divorce autopsies, did you see the opposite of what you're describing happen, where, and by that I mean that, you know, couples abstained from having sex until they were married, but they got married so they didn't have to abstain anymore, and after getting married and engaging in physical relations, they finally realized, oops, not compatible there.
Yeah, you know, I have a great amount of empathy for that position. You see, you know that two or three studies now by Barna and Associates have shown that evangelical Christians have a divorce rate that's as high as atheists and agnostics. That's really sad to me. I mean, it's and oftentimes it's because people get married too soon. Through the Bible Belt and other places where evangelical Christians tend to be a little more plentiful. And the reason they get married too soon is because they want to be sexually involved, and they think that premarital sex is wrong, and so they go ahead and get married in order to have sex, and the marriage doesn't work out. I mean, that's a tragic consequence to a good intention. But I say to people, boy, I would tell you that this business of marrying somebody, take your time on it. It's often necessary for people to spend a couple of years courting one another, and before they really know. I say the first year is all about romance. It's all about the thrill of the thing. And the second year tends to be quite a bit more about the facts and about what is really true. If you wait into the second year to make a determination about marriage, we know from some of our own studies that you just have a much better chance of making an accurate prediction of the right person for you.
How did you meet your wife?
You know, I met Marilyn at Pepperdine University. Actually, I didn't go with her there. I'm sort of embarrassed to tell this story, but it's true. I went back to Princeton Seminary, and I took, as a passenger, a guy who had been going with Marilyn when he was at Pepperdine, and she had just broken up with him, and he told me all the way back to Princeton what a fabulous person she was. I could hardly wait to get back to Princeton to give her a call. And so we got married in my third year at Princeton. And
how did you introduce yourself? I met this guy who was dating you and said you were great.
No, actually, I'd met her back at Pepperdine when I was there. I was 2 years ahead of her in school. I was actually engaged to a girl who was in the same sorority that Marilyn was in, so I knew Marilyn a little bit. But and I'd always admired her. She got into Pepperdine as a probationary student, and she graduated with an award of the top graduating student. And she knew my record. I had been student body president at Pepperdine, and so we knew quite a bit about each other, probably not enough to have made as serious a decision as we made, but it's worked out well. But I will say this, that I think that a lot of people need more information about the other person than they can pick up in a short amount of time. And I kind of got that with Marilyn. I had a lot of information about her, even though I wasn't going with her, that helped me make a good decision.
Do you think that your dating website, eHarmony, would have matched you and your wife together?
Yes, it would have. And But Marilyn and I have two totally different political persuasions. I get a kick out of that. The only way I can deal with that myself is to say I am so happy to have a wife that thinks for herself. That's real important to me. But across a broad base of these 29 dimensions, it's really joyful for us that we have compatibility. But I tell you, Terry, I take no, you know, the only thing I knew is I was supposed to be taller than she was.
Dr. Warren, thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, you know, I can't, it's been a long time since I've enjoyed an hour this much, during which I also had a lot of anxiety.
Dr. Neil Clark Warren is the founder of the internet match site eHarmony. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
I like New York in June.